Hello, everybody. This is Lori Reek with Lifestyles of the Exhausted and the Joyful, where we discuss business and parenting. Hello again, everybody. This is Lori Reek with Lifestyles of the Exhausted and the Joyful. Today, I am going to go in a little bit of a different direction with this podcast. So the title of my podcast episode today is Children Will Be Children. I was going to name it Boys Will Be Boys and Girls Will Be Girls, but I know how our society is these days with being offensive. So I did not use those terms. I'm using Children Will Be Children. And I came up with this idea last night talking with my husband and watching another person's podcast about how children these days are not allowed to be children. Parents these days set the standards for their child so high, it's incredibly ridiculous. And I get this information from my own specific experiences working in childcare, which I have done in the past. I've worked at many childcare centers. I've worked with many, many, many parents, and I can give you firsthand information that parents, or a lot of parents these days, hold the standards too high for their kids. They expect too much out of their kids. They expect their children to excel in things that God did not design them to excel in. For example, when parents expect their children to be into a certain sport or to just be into sports in general, specifically boys, you know, I've heard a lot of dads and moms, but I'll be totally honest, it was mostly dads saying, you know, my son, he's gonna be a football player and he's gonna like it. He's gonna play football or soccer or baseball or whatever it may be. And your child may or may not be designed to play sports. So firsthand knowledge, we tried to get our 3-year-old boy to play t-ball. This was last fall, and he was 100% not interested whatsoever. So I stopped bringing him to the games. I stopped making him play. He did not want to play. He would have rather climbed in the playground. And I don't know, maybe that's most 3-year-olds would rather play at the playground. I don't know, but I'm not a parent that is going to push their child to do something like an extracurricular activity that they don't want to do. Let your children be children. Let them decide what they want to do. If they would rather play in the backyard with sticks and pine cones and whatever, let them do that. Don't force them into a structured activity that they may or may not be ready for. Let them decide when they're older what they want to do. My husband and I have talked in the past about how we do want our kids to be involved in something, but they have to be involved in something. I mean, anything. Pick one thing. It can be music. It can be a sport. It can be a club. It can be a hobby. It can be whatever. But you need to have something that you do outside of your school. It's important to build other skills besides your bookwork. Maybe that's my own opinion, but I think it's a good opinion. So I kind of want to get back to the letting children be children. I have seen a lot of what you call helicopter parents that do not allow their child to be a child. They don't let them play with sticks. They don't let them wrestle. They don't let them run, jump, climb. They don't let them do things that God designed children to do. They are children. They have energy. And let them get hurt. Let them climb on the table and fall down and get hurt. Maybe they won't do it again. Let them climb on the couch. Let them climb. And if they get hurt, like I said before, maybe they won't do it again. Maybe they will. I mean, I suppose it depends on the age. When our three-year-old was one and a half, he had hit the edge of his eye on the windowsill, and we had to bring him in for stitches. He was a climber. We let him climb. And I know that there were a lot of parents kind of judging me a little bit for letting him climb and letting him get hurt. One time I had the oven on, or the stove top on, because I was cooking dinner, and I turned around for a second and he had touched the burner and he burned his hand. Granted, I didn't let that happen, but it happened, and I know it happens to a lot of kids. But I'll tell you what, now he knows what hot is. Now he knows you don't touch a hot burner. When mom says don't touch, it's hot. Anyway, just let your kids be kids. Please do not be a helicopter parent. Don't be a helicopter parent. I know when I was a daycare teacher, helicopter parents were the worst, because we got the blame when their child got hurt for being a child. And what I mean is, you know, children run, jump. I didn't let them get hurt, but they got hurt because they're doing things that children do. So, to all you helicopter parents, don't blame your childcare provider if your child gets hurt for doing something that children do. Obviously, there are times when maybe that provider is not watching your child and they're getting hurt over and over and over and over again. That's a problem. I'm talking about your child's running outside and falls and scrapes his elbow. That's being a child. That is not something that a childcare provider can prevent. And I absolutely will not prevent that. I will not prevent a child from running around. That is not okay. Let your boys or girls wrestle with dad. It is okay to do that. It is okay. And it's what a lot of boys want to do. Boys have a lot of energy. They have a lot of energy. And wrestling with dad is just something that they do. Let them do it. Let them do it. Because I'll tell you what, it's really difficult to prevent your child from being a child. But obviously, don't make your children wrestle. That would be weird. My three-year-old he's not really into wrestling. He's kind of sensitive. He's got so much energy, but he doesn't try to wrestle, and that's okay with me. But if he wanted to wrestle with dad, I'm not gonna stop it. So I do have a few stories I'm going to share from the daycares I've worked at in the past about some helicopter parents. And I won't use names of daycares, I won't use names of children, won't use names of anybody in any of these stories. I'm just going to tell you the storyline, and hopefully that doesn't get me in trouble. And if it does, then I guess it does. I don't think there's anything wrong with me telling these stories. Anyways, there were quite a few times, numerous times, I had parents actually ask me if I was watching their children when they got hurt. And I remember that being just like a stab to the heart. Like, I'm getting paid to watch your child. Please don't ask me if I'm watching them when they get hurt. Because yes, I'm watching your child, but I also have so many other kids that I have to watch too. So if your child gets hurt on my watch, yes, you know, I was sorry, but I was in the room, and it's what happens. If you put your kid in daycare, you're kind of just, that stuff is going to happen. It's going to happen because there are other children around. One time I had a parent tour come through, and I remember that this arrogant dad, he came in, and I was in a pretty small child's room. They were maybe 9-10 months old, and this dad asks me, So do they just play with blocks all day? And I'm thinking, why, yeah, I mean, they're 9 and 10 months old. What else are they supposed to be doing? I mean, we go outside and stuff, but essentially, yeah, they're playing with blocks all day because they're babies and they don't know how to do anything else. It's kind of crazy some of the things that parents say and do, and I hope this doesn't seem like a venting. I'm just sharing these stories to maybe help you guys out. Maybe some of you parents are a little helicoptery and you want to help yourself out. I'll help you out. I'll tell you some stories. One time, so there's a lot of biting in daycares. There's a lot of biting in daycares. And it is like the worst thing if you're a child care provider and you have a biter in your class. It's the worst because the parent of the biter blames you, and the parent of the child being bit blames you. And it's like, hey, I get paid $8 an hour. I get paid $8 an hour. It is not my fault that your child bites, and it's not my fault that this other child is getting bit, because I'm doing everything I possibly can to stop it. But once the child starts biting, it's like you can't just pull him off while he's biting. It's really hard, especially if you have a lot of kids in your classroom. It's really hard, you guys, and it's hard on the parent of the biter, and it's hard on the parents of the child being bit. I've been on both ends, you guys, and it sucks on both ends. So if you have a child in daycare and they're a biter, I feel for you because you don't know why they're biting. And your pediatrician probably doesn't know why they're biting. They're just doing it. And it's just, you know, it's hard. It's really, really hard. And on the other hand, when you have your child that's being bit, that's really, really hard too. My 3-year-old, he got bit so, so bad many times, and it was hard. Like, that end is pretty brutal because you see your kid with these marks, and it's, yeah. I mean, I know how you feel if you're the parent of a kid being bit. It's hard. So one time after there was an incident at a daycare where I was in a room and one child bit another child, and the parent of the child who got bit actually asked me if this child who bit their child had their shots, like he's a dog or something. They didn't break skin or anything, and I don't know, I guess maybe I can see why he would ask that question, but it's kind of ignorant in a way, wouldn't you think? I know there's nobody answering me on that question, but you can answer it out loud. I probably won't hear you, or you can message me and tell me. So on the academic side of letting your children be children is kind of hard, especially if you send them to school because you don't have the option of knowing exactly what happens during the day. And if your kindergartner goes to all day, every day kindergarten, I can't imagine, because my boy is 3 and a half, he's gonna be 4 this year, and so 2020, he can technically go to kindergarten, but I don't think I'm going to send him. Not right when he turns 5, not from what I've heard about curriculum and all that kind of thing. My boy has a ton of energy. He has so, so, so much energy that sometimes I wonder if he's ADHD, and it wouldn't surprise me one bit. But I'll tell you what. If he is ADHD, I'm going to be homeschooling him because the kids in school do not get enough recess time. They don't get enough time outside. And maybe that's just my opinion, but from what I understand, they get 30 minutes a day. And for someone who's ADHD or autistic, like, they need a lot more than that. They do. And I don't think that's just my opinion. I think that's probably a lot of other people's opinions too, based on research. Maybe I'm going off course talking about schooling, but that's just a whole nother subject that I'd like to discuss, and I'd like to kind of discuss it now. We've been kind of going back and forth on what we want to do with our children as far as schooling, with my 3.5-year-old being close to kindergarten age. I've heard things about public school, about the curriculum not being appropriate for that age, and that seems super silly to me, and it should be. And I understand, I'm not blaming teachers don't come up with their own curriculum. They have to teach what they have to teach, and that is just the way that it is. So I'm not talking bad about public teachers. I'm talking bad about whoever comes up with the curriculum. Whoever comes up with the curriculum is insane. Why would you make curriculum for kindergarten, not kindergarten? I don't understand. Now, why wouldn't you make it so that the curriculum is something that a 5-year-old can learn? And I don't know about private schools, or I don't know about charter schools. I don't know what they teach. I don't know if it's the same. I don't know if it's different as far as curriculum. I don't know if it's different as far as outside time. I would guess the outside time or recess is probably the same. I'm not sure. Maybe they treat ADHD and autistic kids differently and they get more outside time. That stuff I don't know. I'm assuming not. I'm assuming they don't get treated any differently as far as outside time. But what I do know is those kids need that outside time. They need those breaks. My opinion, my uneducated opinion, because I am not a psychologist, I'm not a teacher, I'm not licensed in anything like that, but from what I've read, from what I've heard, from what I've seen, kids with those types of things, they need their outside time. They need it to learn. Otherwise, they're not going to learn. They're not going to learn very well. And that is probably the main reason I am wanting to homeschool my children, because they have a lot of energy compared to other children their age. And I don't think that energy is going to go away, because I had a lot of energy when I was a child, and so did one of my brothers. We were just hyper. We were hyperactive, and we probably could have used more outside time during the school day, and maybe that would have helped our academics, because we did not do well in school either. So I don't know, maybe that's true, maybe it's not, but what I do know is I don't want that for my kids. I want my kids to be able to learn, and I feel bad for the parents who don't have the option to homeschool when they have ADHD or autistic kids, because my own personal opinion is that's probably the best thing for those kids. And if you're going to homeschool, obviously you need that to give them social things, clubs, sports. They have these co-op things where, from what I understand, you take these kids to, and other parents teach them, and they get to interact with other kids and stuff. Homeschooling is not what it used to be. You don't just keep your kids in your house and you teach them from 9 to 5. I've seen so many videos on what parents do for homeschooling. I've seen their daily activities, their schedule, and you can start your day at 7 a.m. and be done with school by noon. I mean, how cool is that for your children? How cool is that? And this is if you have the option, you guys. I mean, I don't want people to feel badly if they're not able to financially stay home and homeschool their kids. I'm just saying, if you have the option, I would look into it, because we are seriously considering it. But, you know, I'm going to do what I feel is best, or what we feel is best for our children at that time, when it's time to decide that. But anyways, these women's schedules, or I guess men, I haven't seen any men stay home, do homeschooling on any of the videos that I've seen. And you guys, if you're wanting more information on homeschooling, you're wanting to see what other moms do, I just go to YouTube and I type in homeschooling schedule, and it comes up with all these videos. It's super cool. One mom, they wake up at like 6:30, and then by 7 or 7:30 they ride their bikes to the park and they play at the park for an hour before they start learning. And I think that's super, super important for all children to get some exercise and get their wiggles out. They need their wiggles out. In my opinion, I don't feel like they get that in public school or charter school or private school. Maybe I'm wrong, but I know I keep saying that it's my opinion, but I want it to be clear because I don't want people to say, hey, that's not true. I'm like, well, maybe not. It's, you know, my opinion. So anyways, like I said, go check it out. If you're interested in doing homeschooling, if you can, that's great. That's good for you. More power to you. And I don't have anything against teachers in public school, private school, charter school. You guys are awesome. You guys are great. And I just want to make sure everyone knows that I don't have a problem with teachers. I think that they're fantastic, and I know that they're doing everything that they can in their power to make sure that every child is learning what they need to learn. I understand that they need to teach what they are told to teach, and that's fine. That's okay. Well, you guys, I think this is going to be the end of my episode. I hope I didn't offend too many people. I know how it is these days. It's hard to not offend people. So I guess if I did offend you, I don't know how, but you can message me, or you can just not listen to my podcast anymore. Well, I hope you all had a wonderful day. Thank you for taking a listen to Lifestyles of the Exhausted and the Joyful. If you have any other topics you'd like me to talk about, you can go ahead and email me at Lori, L-O-R-I, dot Reek, R-I-E-C-K, 1-3, at gmail.com. Thank you guys again, and I will talk to you next week. Thank you. Thank you.